the opportunity that we have 1 week before Easter to look ahead to what Jesus has done for us, to what God has done in sending his own son to save us and to rescue us. And so we are celebrating with the rest of the Christian world the scene in the Gospels where the multitudes and masses are crying out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Hosanna in the highest. The people of Israel were anticipating the establishment of a new king in the lineage of King David. They were looking forward to this king who would rule and reign and restore them as a people. They were excited because they were looking at Jesus as their rescuer, as their deliverer. And so as Jesus was riding down into Jerusalem that first Palm Sunday, people were shouting, Hosanna. Hosanna literally means help. Save us now. And so maybe this morning when you looked out your window, you said, Hosanna, God, help us, save us now in this snow. How is it that it's April and it's snowing? God, Hosanna, save us now. But as we consider this incredibly important Sunday, I want to tie in our current sermon series to what we're celebrating, what we're looking at this morning. And so our passage this morning is Isaiah 51 and 52. If you have a Bible, turn there with me. But it's an appropriate passage of Scripture because it's a call to pay attention, to look, to listen, and to wake up to what God is doing. That's the title of our sermon this morning, Look, Listen, and Wake Up. And because we are in this Easter season, we're just a week away from celebrating the resurrection of our Savior and our Lord, we should have a heightened sense of awareness, a sharpened focus on the surrounding events, along with the main event of Jesus' death and resurrection. We're called to look, to listen, and to wake up to what God has done and to what God is doing. And so let's start here first in Isaiah 51 and 52. And we're taking more of this 30,000-foot flyover view because I want to take some of the themes that God is talking about here to the Israelites and apply them to our approach in Holy Week here in Easter. As a quick recap in Isaiah, the last few chapters that we've been studying have been focused on Isaiah's prophecy, or really God speaking through Isaiah to the people of Israel. Now, the people of Israel were going to be captured and exiled to the land of Babylon. We've talked about this. Their homeland was defeated. Their capital city, Jerusalem, was nearly destroyed. And so the Israelites were taken captive, brought into the land of Babylon, hundreds and thousands of miles away from their homeland, and made servants of this foreign nation. And as they would be in this hostile environment, in these unfavorable circumstances, God himself promised to rescue them and deliver them and save them. I would imagine that perhaps many of them woke up each morning in captivity and cried out, Hosanna, save us. God, help us. Get us out of this situation. But as we saw last week, the Israelites would get impatient. They would get anxious. They would feel like God had forgotten them, that God had maybe even forsaken them. But we know that God never leaves his people. So even as they felt like they were uncomfortable, that they were settling now into this land, God was telling them that he was going to restore them. And so when we get to chapters 51 and 52, where we're at this morning, God wants his people to pay attention, to listen intently, to look closely, to wake up to what he had done and what he was going to do. God calls the people of Israel to look, listen, and wake up. The first word in Isaiah 51 is the word listen. And then in verse 1 and 2, God also says, look. This begins to set the tone, to set the theme for this passage. The Israelites were called to look and listen to what God is doing. But particularly in these first three verses, they were to listen and look at what God had already done. God wants his people to remember and to think about how he was there to start this nation. He brought them forth. He birthed this people through Abraham and Sarah. They should listen and look at how God had been at work even to bring this people about. They should pay attention because God was already doing something. He was there to start them, and he was going to see them through. And so these first three verses beckon Israel to listen, to look at the fact that God had worked for this people. And then we jump down to verses 4 through 8. Check this out. In verse 4, God says to his people, "Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation." Again, the idea of this is listen, pay attention. Verse 6 says, "Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath." In other words, God is saying, look, look. And in verse 7, God says, "Listen to me." So here again, these same themes keep coming up. Give attention, my people. Give ear, my nation. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look. Verse 7 says, "Look, listen to me." So in verses 4 through 8, what God is saying is, I want you to see this. I want you to hear what I'm doing. I'm going to establish justice and righteousness for my people. He was preparing to bring salvation, and he wanted his people to hear it and to see it. The people of Israel to look, to listen to what God was preparing to do in saving them. So here's what we have in the first 8 verses of this chapter already. Listen and look to the past, then listen and look to the future. And then in verses 21 and 22, the same ideas are repeated. God says, "Hear this." And then in verse 21, it says, "Behold." That's verse 22. "Behold." Same words again, right? Listen and look. God was now here going to be removing his wrath. He's going to be taking away the punishment from Israel. He had sent his people into Babylon as a way to punishment, to punish them. But now he's going to take that away. And he says, "Listen to this. Look at this. At first, I was pouring out my wrath on you, but now I'm going to pour out my wrath on your enemies, on my enemies." God was getting ready now to end the Israelites' pain and suffering in captivity. And in place, he was going to punish the Babylonians. So here's what we have in chapter 51 so far. Listen in verse 1. Look in verse 1. Look again in verse 2. Give attention, verse 4. Give ear, verse 4. Lift up your eyes, verse 6. Look, verse 6. Listen, verse 7. Hear this, verse 21. Behold, verse 22. Do you get the point of what God is saying? He's saying, listen, look. I've done something for you in the past. I'm doing something for your future. I am even now working on your behalf to remove the punishment and pain and to pour out punishment on your enemies. Over and over, God is saying to his children, listen up. Listen up. Look at what I'm about to do. Look at what's going to happen. Pay attention to what's about to go down. I want you to hear and see what I'm doing, because God's people often forget or neglect the work that he's doing for his people. Not just the Israelites, but us. We get so busy with our lives. We get so busy with all the other things that we should be responsible for, but we often forget to look, to listen, to pay attention to the fact that God is always doing something for his people. But then in verse 51, in chapter 51, verse 9, and then again in verse 17, and then again in verse 1 of chapter 52, we have a different word that's repeated 7 times. In these 3 verses, the same word is repeated 7 times. It's the word awake, or get up, or wake up. The Hebrew word that is used there is ur. He's saying ur, ur, wake up, wake up, wake up. The first 3 times that God is saying this, he's actually using it, I think, in the third person. He's calling himself to rise to action, to awaken, and he's calling his power to be awakened. It's almost like what I often do when I wake. God needs motivation to do something for his people. But when he says in verses 9, "Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord, awake in as in the days of old," I believe that God is saying to the Israelites, he's saying it to himself for the Israelites to hear. He's saying this for their benefit. He's saying it's time to rise to action for his people, and he wants his people to hear that he's going to do something for them. And so God is about to demonstrate his power. He's about to show them that he's going to deliver them. It's like if I'm planning to pick up pizza, and I've called the order in ahead, I'm waiting at home, and then I look at my watch, and I see that it's ready to go, then I say out loud, "All right, it's time to pick up the pizza." I'm telling myself that I'm going to get the pizza, but it's a signal to the rest of my family that the food's coming, so they should get ready. They should wash their hands and set the table and sit there and wait because the food is coming. I'm saying it for the benefit of my family. I think in the same way, God is saying, awake. He's saying, awake to himself, to his power, for his people to hear, for them to realize God's about to do something. And then in verse 17, God says it again. He says, wake yourself. It's the same word, wake yourself, awake. But this time, he's directing it to the Israelites. Same thing in verse 1 of chapter 52. He says to his people, awake, awake. And he's telling them now that they need to get up and obey, to respond to what God is doing. And their right response when they are delivered is to go back to Israel. That's what God is telling them here. He says, I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to rescue you from the Babylonians. But then your responsibility and your act of obedience is to get up and go. You see, the strange thing is they would get settled in their captivity. They would start to feel comfortable being servants. And God says, I'm going to save you, but you need to get up and get moving. You need to obey when I tell you to move. That's interesting because sometimes when God does something for us, when he is clearly demonstrating his power, we don't always obey. We have to hear, similar to what the Israelites are hearing, get up, awaken, obey, do what I have commanded you to do. So God is saying to his people here, look, listen, wake up. Notice that I'm working on your behalf. I want you to see that I'm at work. I want you to hear that I'm going to save you. And then I want you to wake up and to respond to do what I've called you to do. In these two chapters, God wants his people to see and to hear and then to respond. God is doing a work of salvation for his people, and he wants his people to pay attention. God is calling the Israelites to look, listen, and wake up. But now let's begin to pivot to where we are today. Here on Palm Sunday, preparing for Easter Resurrection Sunday, how are we looking and listening and waking up to the work that God has already done and is still doing and wants to do in our lives as we look at Easter? You know, every year around Thanksgiving, when Thanksgiving is over, our house begins to get ready for Christmas, right? We get Christmas music playing. Actually, before Thanksgiving, we get Christmas music playing. But we get our decorations set up, right? We set up our tree. We do our gift shopping. We plan for different Christmas parties that we're going to go to. And with all these great activities, it's supposed to help remind us that Christmas is coming. It should remind us of this incredible gift that God has sent his own son to save the world. And so we do all these different things around Christmas to get ready for Christmas. And yet we don't often do the same thing for Easter, when in fact Easter is the greater celebration. The whole reason why we celebrate Christmas is because we celebrate Easter. You see, Easter is what we hang our entire faith on. This is what we hang our entire lives on. The fact that Jesus was crucified on Good Friday. He took our sin. He took the wrath of God. He took the judgment that we deserved. And then 3 days later, he rose from the grave. He gave us life. This is a better celebration, and we don't prepare well for it. What we celebrate on Easter is that Jesus Christ, in his death and resurrection, has taken away the punishment of sin and death, and he's given us life. God says, look, listen, wake up to what I have done and what I am doing. Doesn't it make sense for us to prepare? Doesn't it make sense for us to get our hearts and our minds ready to remember, to recall, to think about the greatest act in all of human history? This is where we are called to look and to listen, to wake up. I think of how some people are really passionate about art. And consider how these people would study a painting or a piece of visual artwork. I never really learned to appreciate art, but think about how serious art students take in a painting. You're supposed to consider the use of colors and shapes and textures and patterns when you're looking at a painting. You ask, is the artwork communicating movement or action or stillness? Is there a specific focus or theme that the painter is trying to express? You're supposed to consider the lighting and the placement of objects and lines. How is blank space used? Or what is the use of symbols in this painting? There are hundreds of questions you could ask of a piece of art. And so we understand how people could spend hours standing in front of a painting, or even years going back to the same art museum, looking at the same painting over and over. These people are trying to draw out as much as they can from this artwork and appreciate everything that is being communicated by the painter. They're looking intently, studying intensely, trying to learn and appreciate all they can about this piece of art. But again, like most people, like me, we don't spend that kind of time looking and studying and listening to a piece of art. Studies and surveys have shown that when people go to art museums, they spend an average of 17 seconds looking at a painting. Now, in 17 seconds, you could probably appreciate a painting. You could probably absorb some information about it. But what if you were looking at a painting and the painter himself was standing next to you? He would begin to point out all the details, the intricacies of what he had done, the complexities of the work that you wouldn't see right away. He would make you stand there and stare at his painting. He would ask you questions about it. He would point you to look at a certain thing. He would tell you about his labor, about his process, about his motivation. And in many ways, that's similar to what God is calling us to do during Holy Week. Through Scripture and the Holy Spirit, we have the artist calling us and pointing us to look, to listen, to wake up to the work of salvation that he's accomplished. During this week before Good Friday and Easter, we should be particularly looking and listening and waking up to what God has done and what God is doing. Probably for many of us, myself included, we've not slowed down enough in this season to consider deeply the glorious message of salvation that God has done. And so this is a reminder for us to stop, to stare, to look, to listen, to awaken, to consider the work that God has done. I want to come back to this in a moment. But I think that we should also remember, while we're thinking about what God is communicating and how God is speaking to us, that the enemy of our faith is also working. Satan is working too to distract us. He's working to oppose us. As we draw closer to Easter, we can know that we're in a spiritual warfare. Just as God is calling us to look and listen to wake up, that he wants to show us what he's doing, guess what? Our enemy is also working to distract us, to keep our gaze off of the greatest act in all of human history. And so we need to look and listen and pay attention to the fact that there is an enemy who is working against us even now. We should be aware that it's not just for us to look at what God is doing, but to be careful about the ways that we are being tripped up, that we're being tempted, that we're being called back to our sin. And so we ask the Lord to guard us, to protect us. I was sharing with my small group on Friday. This has been my prayer request for the last few days. As we as a church are preparing to look at Easter, that we would be awakened to what God is doing, but also that God would protect us and guard us. We are in spiritual warfare. And so we should be looking and listening, waking up and paying attention to what God is showing us, looking and listening and waking up to the things that may be undermining our appropriate act of worship in celebration of Easter. And so how can we put this into practice? How can we actually look and listen and wake up? So let's break this down first. Let's talk about looking. We can attentively look by looking at the Word of God. Reread the wonderful accounts of the Gospels that tell us about the triumphal entry and then the week that led up to the Last Supper with the disciples and the trial that ends with crucifixion, then that moves on to resurrection. Make it a priority this week to read through the Gospels. Maybe start in the triumphal entry and then read through. Actually, that's what we're going to do right now. We have it up on the screen, I think. We should have it up on the screen. But if not, if it's too small to see, open up your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 19. Look at verses 28 through 40. I want us to take a minute and just, not more, take 2 minutes. Read this. Look at this. What we celebrate on Palm Sunday is what we're reading in Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 40. So I know it's kind of hard to read, but have your Bible in front of you. I'm going to give you a moment to read this, for us to ponder this, to look. Here's a way that we can look. Continue reading the scriptures this week. And actually, one of the things that we're going to be doing, or we'll be doing from the church, is I'm going to send out an email each day, starting today. So later, check your inboxes for this. But I'm going to include this short devotional. It's not something that I've written, but it's something that I've found. And I want to send it to you so that you can read this. It'll have a short devotional, but then it'll also list out a passage for you to read that correlates with the day that leads up to Good Friday and then Easter. This is a way that we can look to pay attention to the work that God has done. And so look for that. Each day this week, there will be an email in your inbox. If you don't regularly get the church emails, come talk to me afterwards and I can get your email and put you on that list. But look, read scripture. Maybe jot this down. The triumphal entries are in each of the Gospels. Matthew 21, start there today. Or Mark 11, or Luke 19, which we just read. Or John 12, start there. And then each day begin to read a little bit more until you get to the resurrection. Here's the way that we can look to take the time to stare and consider at what God has done. Second action step, listen. This one was a little bit hard for me to think about, but maybe you can begin to build a playlist. Actually, that's what we have in our family. We have an Easter playlist. As I mentioned before, many of you probably have a Christmas playlist that you have when you come to Christmas time. You begin to listen to Christmas music, right? Maybe you begin to build an Easter playlist. Whatever music service you use, or maybe you go to YouTube, build a list of songs that you are playing regularly in your home or in your car or just around you. These songs that talk about the cross and the resurrection. These worship songs that point your heart again to what God has done. Maybe this is a way that you can listen and be reminded about what God has done. Maybe some of you are into podcasts or listening to sermons. Maybe begin to build a playlist of podcasts or sermons that you can listen to this week. But take time to look and now to listen. Be reminded of what God has done in sending Christ as our sacrifice. The third thing is to wake up. As we said, this idea of awakening, the Hebrew word ur, is a call to action. right? When I tell my kids to wake up, it's not that I just want them to physically get up out of bed, but it's to get ready. When I say wake up, it means get your stuff together, put your clothes on, brush your teeth, get your breakfast ready. We're going out the door soon. There's a call to action here. Here are some actions that you can take this week. Make it a priority and plan to come to service on Friday for our Good Friday service. As Pastor Casey mentioned in our announcements, 6 p.m. is our Passover presentation. Make plans for that. Saturday, make plans to bring your kids to the Easter extravaganza or plan to participate and help. Next Sunday, Easter Resurrection Worship Service is an hour earlier. It's 10 o'clock. Take action. Maybe you plan to park further away, as we mentioned. But take action. Just as we're being called to wake up. Wake up. Maybe it means to literally wake up a little bit earlier this week so that you can look at Scripture. Maybe that's an action step for you. Even 5 minutes earlier, get your alarm clock set to 5 minutes before you usually wake up and just read again from the Gospels. That's an action step. Literally to wake up earlier. This week, as we are approaching the greatest act in human history, the celebration of what God has done in sending His Son to die for us and to give us life, how are you preparing your heart? Will you look? Will you listen? Will you wake up to what God has done? To what God is doing. Let's be intentional in preparing our hearts and minds for the joy of Easter. And let's guard our hearts in all the ways that the enemy might be trying to trip us up. Let's be reminded of who we are in Christ, what He's given to us, what He promises us. Let's be reminded, as we've looked at Isaiah, that God delivers His people. Even in our daily struggles, even in the difficulties that we face at work, at home, with our neighbors, in school, God can. He will deliver. We celebrate the greatest deliverance this coming week. Let's pray. God, help us. Even as you said hundreds of years ago to the Israelites, look and listen and wake up. That ancient message is still applicable for us today, especially as we approach Easter. God, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, enable us, empower us, inspire us, and motivate us to look at your word, to listen to your truth, to wake up to the joy that is ours in Christ. And God, as we do this, I pray that you would again overwhelm us with excitement, deep gratitude, unending joy, because you have saved us. God, help us this week. We want to look, we want to listen, we want to wake up. In Jesus' name, amen.